For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's Friday, May 5th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. This podcast is also brought to you in part by Honda Fit. The all-new Honda Fit is small on the outside, yet roomy and versatile on the inside. Check it out at fit.honda.com. All right, folks, I have a heck of a show for you tonight. We're going to give away some prizes. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. And thank goodness it's Friday. How's everyone? Are you ready for the weekend? I know that I am, but you know what? It's been like an entire weekend this whole week. I've been off. It has been wonderful, but not without work. I have stayed busy almost the entire week and actually gotten a great deal accomplished. And it feels good to have had a very productive week. My professors at my class are keeping me pretty busy, but that's what they're supposed to do, right? And hey, for all of you that are long-term subscribers, hey, I want to thank you for being part of the family, being part of the Ohana here, and thanks for staying subscribed. And for all of you that are checking out the show for the very first time, hey, stay subscribed for a few shows, check us out, and we hope that you become a permanent family member here. Hey, just want to let you know what's going on, you know, here on historic Ford Island where we live. It's an amazing amount of construction. It's like this renaissance of building that's going on. They're putting in housing units. There's going to be a World War II Aviation Space Museum a World War II Aviation Museum put in. And it's just all kinds of stuff. So this week while I've been off, I've been doing a lot of walking around the island here, looking at the different construction going on. And they're working, I guess, what you would consider Hawaiian style. Not super fast, but stuff is going in. And lots of new roads going down and redirection of traffic, and people are confused and a few complaints here and there, but otherwise it's all good. But hey, we've got some prizes, actually a prize to give away tonight, but we're going to start giving away some more prizes on a regular occurrence over here. But let me cover a little bit about some things going on, and then we'll give away these things. Hey, I tell you, I'm going to rant just a little bit. And part of it is on Six Apart. Now, those of you that have followed this show for a while know that I'm a devoted movable type user. I think that's changing. Today I saw another posting on the Six Apart website talking how they have released a couple of terrific enhancements to TypePad. Meanwhile, here are the movable type user base twiddling our thumbs and nothing has been done. I mean, they haven't moved an inch forward with this application in a long, long time. I think they've abandoned it. I think it's abandonware, and it's obvious that the WordPress folks have things going on, a lot of stuff being built for the application, a lot of plugins, a lot of exciting, cool new stuff you can do with WordPress. And I wasn't, 6 months ago, I was kind of on the side, kind of not really impressed with WordPress, but that has changed dramatically. And I think what we're going to do, and as much as I hate to do it because it's going to cost me money, it's going to cost me time and energy, but I think the Geek News Central website is going to be changing. I think we're going to change it to a WordPress site. I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired of waiting for the folks at Six Apart to get their act together and release an updated version of Movable Type and bring to the forefront some of the tools that we've been demanding and wanting for a long, long time. You can't find good information about it. The forum sections are barely usable anymore. People are not contributing. And I believe their developer base is going to WordPress. I believe that their user base is going to WordPress. And they make great announcements about big partnerships they do with big companies. But for the small blogger out there, I don't think they care. I really don't. And I'm sure I'm going to get some pushback on this. I'm sure that there's going to be some comments on my website tomorrow from Anal Dash, maybe. He's one of the guys that have commented before when I have said stuff. But the trots, I don't think they care about Movable Type anymore. They don't talk about it. It irritates me greatly. So I'm going to be on the lookout now for a developer that can take the theme of Geek News Central and convert it into a WordPress theme, and then we'll move forward. And I'll be able to use some of these cool applications and plugins that are available now for that user base. Now, on some other subjects, we've got a very interesting tech support situation that happened today to a friend of mine. For those of you that are have been following the show, you'll know that I took all of the DNS, and those of you that aren't familiar with it, DNS is it's a domain name server, and it's what basically runs on any web host that interprets the information coming in so it can direct it correctly. Basically, it tells when you type in a domain name, you get the correct address on where you're supposed to go. I guess that's kind of the easy way to describe it. But I've been using a service from Netica, and we have them doing all of the DNS hosting for Geek News Central, Podcast Awards, for Podcaster News, Raw Voice. All of our domains are over there. And one of my buddies, Tim, who's from One Technologies, who's been running DNS service bind his entire time he's been running servers, was so impressed with the service that he is moving all of his DNS services over there. Now, I'm telling you, they've got a great service. Well, and that's not a paid endorsement. This is from the bottom of my heart. I'm saying they got a great product. Well, turns out today he had a little bit of an issue, Tim did. And he clicked on a button there to get live tech support, and it came on, and it essentially, they are so aware of what's going on with their network and so dialed in that when he went into chat, it looked at the user log session that he was logged under. The tech looked at his DNS entries before he came into chat. I mean, just within a minute or so. And when he come in, he said, "Hey, Tim, I found your problem. I've got it fixed." And this was before Tim even asked a question on the chat support. My folks, that is customer support. Now, Tim, it takes a lot to wow Tim. But Tim was like, he IM'd me this morning. He says, "Dude, can't believe what just happened." And I was blown away. He showed me the chat session, and I was astonished. So I'll put a link up to those of you that have servers that are maybe running bind on your boxes right now and want to get away from that. I'll give you a link to their website, and you guys can check them out. And they've got a cool service that's essentially going to allow us to have redundancy on our network as well, where we're going to be able to, if a box goes down, it automatically redirects to secondary boxes, and that's what we've been putting in to get those up. Okay, hey, Podcast Awards site, May 15th is going to refresh. We'll have our new sponsors up there. I have sold the platinum and the 4 gold spots, so we are well on our way for sponsorships on that website. I'm very, very happy, and we'll be announcing those sponsors next week. Along with that, we're, of course, looking for trophy sponsors, and we're also looking for people that want to come in and give prizes. So if you have a company that want to get some real good exposure, last year, I think we've had about 8 million hits to that website. So we're going to get real busy here soon again with the Podcast Awards or at podcastawards.com. Now, I want to remind everyone that on the Geek News Central website, for those of you that are checking the show out for the very first time, you can sign up for our newsletter. That's found in the second column of the website. And all you got to do is click on a newsletter, and you'll be able to get a link to the, it'll give you the show notes. Essentially, I'll send you the show notes via email as soon as the show is posted. And of course, we've also got a link on that website where you can get free magazines. It's in the same column. So if you guys want to check out the free magazines, they're all tech magazines. Sometimes they run some specials on there. So, you know, check into that that link, that hot link you into that company. And they have some, they got some good offerings there. And the best thing is it's free. All right, let's give away this Neuros. Okay, and let me tell you guys what you're getting here, okay? And what I'm going to be doing is I've got a website loaded. It's a randomizer website where I've got the top and low number put in. We had 837 submissions. 837 submissions for this recorder. It's a $149 value donated by the company. It's the Neuros MPEG 4 Video Recorder 2. And it's the easiest way to get movie and TV shows on your Sony PSP. And there's a little bit of a issue with that right now. We'll talk about that later in the show because of the latest firmware of the Sony PSP, but they're working on a fix. But otherwise, hey, this is a cool device, and it essentially is going to replace your VCR, and you'll be able to take and use a compact flash or a CF card and stick in there, and it'll record videos just as if it was a VCR, but onto a compact flash card. So we're not providing a compact flash, but you'll get the box and the entries. Now, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to click on. I've got all the entries numbered in a spreadsheet, so that I'm able to look this up real quick. I'm going to click on, and everything in the spreadsheet is randomized. There was nothing in there that's alphabetical. Matter of fact, I think I've got them linked as they came in. Okay, let me push on the button. 221 is the number, and down my list to 221, John Poindexter. Congratulations, John. You're the winner of the Neuros MPEG 4 Video Recorder 2. I'm sure John is shaking his hands up and down right now. John, send me an audio comment, 619-342-7365. Hey, this is going to be the start of something we're going to do on a regular basis here. I'm going to start giving away more stuff, and I tell you why. I get stuff here to review, and then it kind of goes like back in the box. So as I get products to review, we're going to give them away. So I can't promise that we'll have something every week, but as often as I get stuff that I'm going to turn around, if it's really cool, I'm going to keep it. But but if it's I shouldn't say that. That's like, oh, you're giving me the leftovers. I'm just going to give stuff away. So that includes software as well. So we've got some software I'm going to get packaged up here, and we'll give the software, start giving the software away next week. You know what a better way to give back to you guys than just to give you stuff, you know? And maybe what we'll do is that everyone is, I don't know how to quite do this by having some, you know, send in info every time. I don't want to do that. But maybe one half the time we'll give the prize away to people that's signed up for the newsletter. And half the time we'll do some sort of a random deal. But that's how we're going to kind of work that. Now, along with that, of course, you've got to save money. And by saving money on the show, what do? You go over to GoDaddy.com. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99 plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much more. Plus, as a Geek News Central listener, enter the code GEEK4, GEEK4, and get an additional $5 off on any order of $30 or more. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. And here's some codes. I'm going to get your pens out. GEEK4 will get you $5 off on orders of 30 or more. Comsale will get you .com domains all day long at $6.95. And of course, Todd, T-O-D-D, will get you 10% off on any order. Now, if they have a special going on already, if they have a special deal going on, a lot of times the discount codes will not work. So you can't use a code and a code and a code to get a double discount. So be aware of that. I've had a couple of you say, hey, I couldn't use the code because, and I'm like, well, it was because you're already getting a domain for whatever price. Or so if you're already getting something discounted, sometimes the codes won't work. But please use them when you're out there. Spread them around. Tell them to your friends and help us out here. Okay, I have got, boy, what have I got? I got a pile of stuff here. I had a couple of listeners ask me, and boy, I don't want to go into this too much, but we have a huge list of people that have asked for information on Blueberry. And this is a podcasting subject. Those of you that know, I've talked about Blueberry a little bit. And my team at Raw Voice, I mean, they are coding. We got two programmers that are coding essentially every waking moment. And we have got the underpinnings finished. We have to do some additional legwork, but we hope to have the basic site layout up and ready for beta testing in about 2 weeks. So what I'm going to do is this Friday, I'm actually having a meeting with all the podcasters over at Podcaster News. We're going to dial them in on what's going on. And then we're going to send emails with a small, it's essentially a request, a single piece of paper saying, don't say anything about it until we launch. It won't be a lock-in NDA, but it's just going to be kind of we're going to ask people not to talk about the product publicly until we go live. But we're going to send emails to all those that have requested info. And Blueberry is going to be a very unique podcasting website, not only for listeners. As a matter of fact, it's targeted for listeners. Listeners are going to be able to find great shows, great content, easily interact with people. Can't go into too much details without letting the cats out of the bag, but at the same point, it's going to be a site where if podcasters want to host their podcast, they're going to be able to do that. If they want a place to have a second point of, they want to have their podcast in a second place with some good branding wrapped around their shows, if they want to use some of the power of what we've already developed in our Raw Voice Generator. We got a whole bunch of cool stuff we're really going to be releasing. And I think when people see it, especially the site design is absolutely beautiful. Brian, our creative director, oh my goodness, he has put together a site design that just makes me, oh, it's awesome. It really, really is. And we laid out some hefty agendas for ourselves in getting that site ready and what we want to accomplish. And so that's what's took the extra time. And I probably started talking about it a little too early, but it's forthcoming, okay? Let's talk real quick. Gosh, I'm already at 16 minutes. Let's talk real quick about Second Life. Been kind of an interesting week because I've had some extra time, been able to hang out a little bit. There's actually, I've talked to more podcasters this week in Second Life than I have probably ever talked to outside of Podcast Expo. You know, it's obviously a chat. It's like IMing back and forth, but it's group IMing. You know, you meet like 20 people in a group and you can all be IMing back and forth. It's like IRC almost, you know? So, well, that's what it is. It's virtual IRC. And it's been a really interesting experience. Of course, Adam Curry's been doing some building. He's actually building a new palace, I guess. But we're not about building palaces and party places. We're about building a place where people can connect and find out about podcasting. That's all it really is. It's a social experiment for us to bring in and educate people that haven't been exposed to podcasting. And you know, I'm not spending hours and hours in there. It's kind of running as another online tool of my own while I'm continuing to work and do other stuff. But it is kind of cool. It really, really is. And it's not the end for all for everything because people can get sucked up in there. And like I said before, I know of a person that's getting a divorce because of Second Life just because they got sucked in too far and it dominated their life. So fair warning on that. And but if you get in there, look us up at the PCN Tower. We've got a stream going on in PCN content. But, all right, I'll shut up about Second Life. And let's see, what else have I got here? That's all I got on my list. But I got some other, oh, man, I have some really, really cool news stories tonight. And first thing up, as I talked about it in the blog already, but I just wanted to point it out, was a website that's wrote an article that says Earth's Artificial Ring. It was about a project that took place in the Cold War in the 1950s where there was some worry that something was going to happen and communications was going to get disrupted. So what they did was the Air Force launched a satellite that contained 480 million tiny copper needles that briefly created a ring encircling the entire globe. And they called it the Project West Ford. And, you know, just like the Saturn rings, what these small what these small metal objects did, or small copper objects did, was formed briefly a ring that could actually be seen in orbit. And they were using it to relay, actually using it kind of as a communication conduit to allow easier communications. Now, pretty wild on a thought process on this, but it's a very, very interesting article. It talks about how their transmissions work for a couple of days, and then over time how it dissolved, and then how many years it took for these little tiny needles to re-enter the orbit. And they're saying because they're so small that they did not burn up in the in the ionosphere. So what has happened is you got these apparently 480 some million of these little things are spread all over the planet. So pretty interesting to say the least. I'm sure, considering how small they were never found. But gosh, I got poked in the head. That would have happened in the 70s because that's when they predicted that they all were coming back in. But can you imagine today trying to put that type of material into orbit? People would lose their minds. Okay. Back on the tech front a little bit, those of you that are Mac users, there's been a little bit of a ZDNet's reporting that there's a silent recall on MacBook Pro batteries, a certain series of them, not all of them. For those that, if you pull your battery out and you have a serial number starting with W8607 or W8608, which would have meant that the battery would have been produced the week of February 12th or February 19th, 2006. It looks like those are the dates, or those are the series of batteries that are being replaced. Apparently, there is a pretty serious issue with them in that they just go dead. They go from 90% to immediately off. So that's been reported by ZDNet. So check your MacBook Pros out, and if you've got a battery problem or you've got that series, call Apple Care and get them replaced. Okay, there was a very interesting article on Wired that talked about net neutrality battles widening. And essentially what's happening is the U.S. financial sector has finally woken up to the fact that AT&T and companies like Bell South and Verizon are after this, to remove net neutrality. And they finally kind of come to realization, oh, this is going to cost us a lot of money to implement and ensure that our packets don't get stuck at the bottom of the pile. So it looks like they're going to go to Congress and say, this needs to stop. A little late on the scene, these guys were, they got caught sleeping and they weren't paying attention, but they're not real happy with it. So it's nice to see an organization. This is banks and credit unions and, all these heavy hitters who contribute a considerable amount of money to the campaigns of senators and representatives, that this will definitely, they're going to be hearing from these people and cashing in some of those contributions to get this stopped. And they figure that they may not have a chance to do much damage now, but if it gets brought into some subcommittees, they might be able to make some changes. But, they woke up and smelled the roses and said, oh my goodness, what is going on here? And it goes to show you that it's serious, folks. It really, really is. And we're going to talk today about some more of this type of stuff. And at the end, we're going to be putting a challenge out to everyone. There is a petition going on right now by the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and I'll tell you about that when we get there. Okay, in the Q Daily News, and this is kind of I already ran it on Six Apart a little bit, but they had a little bit of a situation a couple of days ago where there was a sophisticated distributed denial of service attack against the TypePad site, against Six Apart, Mobile Type, all of their channels of websites. Well, Six Apart didn't say too much about it or how it was caused, but it turns out that I talked about Blue Security on the blog a few days ago as well, and Blue Security apparently had been getting a denial of service attack based upon, they are an anti-spam company, and some of the stuff they're doing is basically they re-spam the spammers, and it's not sitting real well with those that are doing spamming, so they were attacking Blue Security. Well, Blue Security apparently, and this is according to Q Daily News, took their bluesecurity.com domain name and forwarded it to their Typepab blog versus, and it basically rerouted all that denial of service from Blue Security's servers onto Six Apart. So the rumor on the street is then that Six Apart took the brunt of this just because Blue Security couldn't handle the heat. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was getting a denial of service attack and it was caused because someone redirected their traffic onto my website, oh, I'm telling you, I would pick up the phone. I'm not a person that would sue, but I would pick up the phone and call my lawyer. That's can you imagine the damage? Can you imagine a website, Six Apart has got, I don't know how many thousands of Typepad user accounts they have. These people are paying for that service, and they'd be down 4 hours because of someone else. Oh yeah, they would either be sending me a check, or they would hear from my lawyer. That's just simply amazing, and not a good practice. Absolutely not a good practice. Okay, back over on the science front, the Opportunity rover, 800 Martian days and counting. Can you believe it? This week, the Mars Exploration Rover Opportunity marked its 800th Martian day with more than 4.6 miles on its odometer. And Spirit's Opportunity older sibling has been on Mars about a month longer and has more than 4.25 miles on its odometer, and they're still working. It's in the winter there on Mars now, so they've got the rovers positioned to get the best amount of sunlight, but still continuing to do science. Amazing. We got our money's worth out of that one, folks. We really, really did. Okay, Dave Weiner, I know some of you like him, some of you don't. I particularly like Dave, and he's pretty straightforward on stuff, and he's a straight shooter, and I'm pretty much a straight shooter, and I like that style. He can be a little rough sometimes, but hey, he's Dave. But he's been talking about BitTorrent and how Microsoft or Apple or someone needs to get off their butt and make it more easy for the end user, for people that are non-technology inclined, to utilize BitTorrent to kind of help distribute some of this load of, you know, we're starting to download all these videos, obviously podcast and audio, and you know, all this content is not getting smaller, folks. It's getting bigger in size. But I don't know about you, my bandwidth here at the house has not increased. I keep asking them when, but they're saying there isn't none. There's no increase coming. Now, some of you are lucky to get fiber to the curb or fiber right indoors, and I'm jealous of you. I really, really am. You're never going to have enough bandwidth. But I think people that create applications, especially people that are doing like podcatchers, like the folks that make juice, if they would just incorporate that smartly into the application, it would just cause it. You know, there's an oncoming tidal wave of listeners. This podcasting stuff, we're only reaching a small percentage of people. When you guys are out there and you're talking to your friends or people that you just meet, ask them, have you heard about podcasting? What is it? And most, you're going to get that deer in the headlights look a lot. Now, maybe your circles are different than mine, but when I talk to people look at me like I'm talking French because they're like, what? What is this? And you try to explain it to them, and the only time they really get the idea is when you either give them a CD with the data, or you give them handhold them through the process. So we got to make it easier for the listeners. That's part of the reason why we're building Blueberry, is to make it easier for the listeners and make it beneficial for the podcasters. But we got to help this mounting bandwidth bills are just, oh my goodness, you wouldn't believe the amount of traffic that we're moving on a monthly basis. You know, terabytes and terabytes of traffic is being moved. And, the hens are going to come home to roost at some point, and this is going to get very expensive. Thank goodness right now for Libsyn. You know, Libsyn is keeping a majority of podcasters in business. Obviously, they're doing a numbers game. Depends on some shows are doing great, some shows are not doing so great, and it all balances out, and hopefully they're making money and building infrastructure. But if they can't sustain that, and we have to start paying by the gigabyte, I know how much bandwidth costs. Bandwidth, if you can buy in the 20 terabyte chunks, you can get it down to, by some of the major providers, 23, 22, maybe 20 cents a gigabyte. But when you're moving, if you guys figure that out, okay, figure out how much that's going to would cost a month. So, you know, as we bring advertisers on the show, obviously right now the bandwidth is not an issue, but at some point it could be. And I think you'll see if it becomes an issue, hopefully it won't. You could see a lot of these shows disappear just because of pure economics. People won't be able to have their shows up. They won't be able to afford to. Now, if we have BitTorrent Incorporated, we won't ever have to worry about that. You know, and we're not asking, there's peak times. You all know that this show is released Tuesdays and Friday mornings. Most of you download the show Tuesday and Friday morning. That's when probably 75% of the downloads come in. Now, over the next 2 days, it tapers down. But imagine, you guys know it comes on, it's usually available about 5 or 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time in the United States. So I'm sure some of you have your podcatcher set up to make a run before you go to work so you have it on your MP3 player when you leave. Well, all of you surge on that file at the same time. Well, if every one of you had BitTorrent built in and enabled, you would never know that you're, you know, it would come so fast. The file would, boom, number one, it would come quick. But there would be thousands of people seeding that file. And the metrics on downloads would just, it would be amazing. And you guys, and after that surge, if you shut your podcatchers off or you weren't downloading the show, it's not such a big deal because the surge of the traffic happens in the first 6 to 12 hours. But during that first 6 to 12 hours, oh my goodness, the resources required to handle it is significant. So we hope that, and Dave hopes, that people get off their butt and start putting BitTorrent natively into applications and make it easier. This is not only a software issue, it's also firewalls and hardware, so that those that are actually using BitTorrent can help seed the files. So if you're not using, I know that sometimes the numbers of people that are downloading the torrent that we have, I think is around 500 a show. We're getting about 500 people that download just the torrent. You know, not a major number of the listeners to this show. It's a small percentage. So I guess, essentially, it's because the 500 or so of you that are doing that are dialed in on and like to use BitTorrent. The rest of you, obviously, you're using iTunes or whatever it may be, and it just doesn't, it's not incorporated, so you don't know the difference. So we'll see. We'll see how it works out. I hope it helps drive some groundswell and gets this good distribution medium out there to help this oncoming surge. Because what happens when the other 98%, because I think we got about 2% penetration right now, what happens when the other 98% of the people come on line and figure out, oh my God, listen to this great media. Oh my goodness. We thought the addition of iTunes was bad. Wait till Microsoft puts podcasting natively into Windows Media Player 11. Stand by. That's all I can say. Okay, Chris Perillo, he's the organizer of GnomeDex, and he's announced that GnomeDex is going to be an unconference, and this is going to be quite a departure. I'm actually glad to see it happen because this is what an unconference is about. And if you guys or any of you are inclined to go to GnomeDex, this is a truly geek conference. It's fun. Let me read down his points about GnomeDex. And everything here is absolutely on the mark. He says, all presenters are chosen by merit. No speaking slots are paid. No speaker release forms. There's a single track event. I have a relaxed atmosphere. Most of the attendees blog. It's a fun conference. Breakfast, lunch, snacks, and night activities are included. No official hotels. Anyone can record anything about anybody. Everyone gets to be treated like a VIP. No press badges. Everyone's pressed. There's no trade show floor. The day's events happen in a single location. All live stage presentations will be streamed online. There's no official hotel. One discussion leader will be selected by the attendees live. It's run by two people. You know, they've got Wi-Fi. They have power strips. There's seating in the main hall for 300 people. It is a nice, cozy event. I'm registered. I'm going. I would not miss it. And I hope that some of you out there would consider going. It is an event that I will probably do everything I can to attend, because the people you meet, the information that you glean, the conversations that you have, if you're a blogger, if you're a techie, videocaster, podcaster, absolutely outstanding. It really, I mean, I was blown away compared to some other conferences I've went to where people pay to play. And I'm not going to say any more than that. Okay, there's a good link on peakvid.com, TV shows. If you want to find a TV show that to download that you watch, here's a list. They have got a huge list. So it's peakvid.com, and I'll have a link up in the show notes, of course. And those of you listening on the stream, you're listening to a podcast, but you can find this podcast or this full-length audio program at geeknewscentral.com. You can find a link to the software application you need to download this automatically and get it on your MP3 player. Also on the website, you'll see a podcast software on the main website at geeknewscentral.com. All right, CNNmoney.com has an article about YouTube seeing a user rebellion. I mean, I probably got more emails on this single article or a series of articles than anything I've gotten in the last week. Apparently, YouTube users, especially ones that have been pretty popular posters, are essentially getting the boot. And part of it is to do with anyone making a copyright claim can cause an account to be flagged. Well, there has been just this upheaval about people saying, okay, you're gonna kick me off. Well, I'm gonna go out and look at every little bit of content, and if I see something that's a copyright violation, I'm gonna go after people and get nasty. This is not good news for YouTube. Bad week for them in the press. So I know some of you that listen to the show are huge YouTube fans, and I know some of you that listen to the show have actually gotten some of those warnings. Matter of fact, I got an email from one of the listeners of this show that said, oh my goodness, what does this mean, Todd? And I told him, yeah, the content you put up probably had some copyright issues, and it essentially involved some National Baseball League stuff, and the... you know, YouTube is essentially cracking down on anything they consider copyright or anyone that even complains it's copyright. So three warnings and they're gone, or two warnings and then a third incident, then they boot people. So, if you're a YouTube user uploader, be careful, okay? All right, Dell wants to sell OS X PCs. Imagine that. There was a interview with... Jim Lauterbach, who I met, he did a interview at Dell and with Michael Dell, and he said that, hey, he'd love to sell PCs and laptops running OS X. As one of my tech podcast fellow members said, that will happen when pigs fly. So, but I thought it was a pretty interesting anecdote on the PC Mag site. You know, they keep chipping away at this, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think, like Allison said, I think pigs will fly before Apple will ever allow OS X to be sold and installed on a regular Windows-based PC. Originally designed for Windows, okay? Let's put it that way. Okay, I found an absolutely awesome series of pictures over on theunion.net, and the site is getting hammered. It may take you a day or so before you're actually able to get to these because of the slash dot effect, dig effect, the whole nine yards. But they have a series of space images up that are just absolutely astounding, and one of them is already going to be on my desktop as a background, and it's a night shot of the entire world spread out. Now, I think I've seen these before, but never all stacked up like this. An amazing picture of a hurricane, but I think the ones that are just the most amazing are the dark areas. Now, what I would ask all of you to do, if you know your geography well, you look at the area of Pakistan and India, and then look up a little bit into the area of Afghanistan and look at no lights. It's going to show you the stark difference in certain areas of the world where there are just no lights at night. You look at North Korea in these pictures, and there's no lights on. I mean, it's lights out. And it's a very interesting, it gives you an idea that of the haves and have-nots. You can see what part of the world is populated and the parts that are sparsely dense or maybe just don't have the electricity infrastructure to support a lot of lights at night. Okay, another article on CNN Money. Seems like I got two of those today. Microsoft may aim for Yahoo acquisition. You know, this is a pretty strong rumor, and they would not be reporting this unless it was true. What do you guys think about that? What do you think of, you know, with Yahoo trying to become a media company and with Microsoft essentially have gotten out of the media business? Have they finally figured out maybe they need to be back in the media business? What is this going to mean? Is this going to ramp up the fight? And this is, goes along with some other comments that were made today as well by some Microsoft people. On the NASA front, there is an absolutely an amazing, just simply amazing video of the some new movies on Titan. New views of the most distant touchdown ever made by a spacecraft are being released by NASA and the European Space Agency and the University of Arizona. The movies show the dramatic descent of the, I'm going to destroy this, Huygens probe to the surface of Saturn's moon Titan on January 14th, 2005. The one that I recommend you watch first is, it says, Video Descent with Bells and Whistles. It's amazing. This stuff, this science stuff, is getting cooler and cooler. It really, really is. Okay, Mac folks that have TiVos, pay attention here. You're going to need to hurry and download this update so that you are able to utilize some functions that are not available to you right now. Mac users with TiVos got a 1-2 punch today. There was a new release of the 1.9.3 Universal TiVo desktop, and it doesn't have the Mac TV to go requirements, but someone figured out a hack on this and are able to now be able to get videos off their TiVo, and it allows you to drop some raw MPEG-2 videos onto your folder for your playback on your Mac. Get that, download that application as soon as possible before TiVo shuts that down, and you'll be able to enjoy the videos on your TiVo. You enjoy the videos on your Mac that were recorded by your TiVo, okay? And that's an article up by Engadget. Okay, we talked about, I gave away the Neuros 2 recorder earlier, but there was a, I got an email from the folks at Neuros earlier in the week. Essentially what has happened is the recent release of the 2.7 firmware updates makes it impossible for the handheld console to play content that is captured by the recorder. What's even worse is that if you previously recorded something and put it on a memory stick, the 2.7 essentially blocks that content. Now, Neuros doesn't know if Apple did this on purpose, but what they're going to do is they're going after a three-pronged approach to fix this, and they'll get it fixed. Don't worry. They're saying that for now, they're going to have a release a firmware update in a couple of weeks. They're going to talk to Sony. Good luck talking to Sony. to adjust their code in the future upgrades. And they're, and also, number three, the thing that they're going to do finally is they're going to make it so that they can upgrade or convert their old recordings into the 2.7 friendly format. So stand by for more info on that. I'll pass it to you when I get it. Okay, audio conferencing goes free. Hey, today Skype casting was announced by Skype. And this is a pretty cool little deal, except it's missing a couple major functions I think that it needs. Now, if you, you know, before you could only have a Skype conference call with five people, but now you can set up a Skype cast where you can have up to 100 attendees participate in a free Skype cast where you all can get in this essentially the same conference room or conference virtual conference area via Skype, and one person can talk and have everyone else muted and you can give people permission to talk, and it's very, very cool. Now, the only bad thing about this is you can't make your Skype cast private. So if you want to have a private deal with more than five people on Skype cast, it's no way to do it. It'll be open for anyone to come in. So I thought, man, what a great way. We're going to have these meetings next week. I can just have everyone Skype in. We won't have to let anybody dial in on a telephone to waste any long distance money. And boom, it's no privacy on this. So it's all opened up. You're able to, but if you want to have some sort of a, you want to do your show, and we might do a Skype cast Geek News Central. How do you guys think? Think that'd be cool? But the time I record here, half of you are in bed, so I don't know how many would participate. Maybe those of you that are in Europe and Japan would, But we will maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll do that in a show next week or something. If you're up to that, I usually start recording about 9 to 10 p.m. Hawaiian Standard Time. And so you guys, that's GMT minus 10. So you guys can figure that out on the old clock. And if you'd be up for a listen to the show live, let me know. And I would do that. That's the only disadvantage about living here in Honolulu is the rest of you, it's hard to do live events unless I do them very, very early. Okay, it appears that Apple is not happy. We talked about that article last show about the gentleman that figured out how to cool his MacBook Pro off by getting that gunk out of there that they had. Well, Apple has demanded that he take the article down because it is a copyright infringement. All right, here is something. Here is a guy's recommendation that's going to make your MacBook Pro cooler. It's going to make it so you won't burn your chip up. Faulty workmanship on their part because their machines, this is what's causing these machines to overheat. And they're saying, you have to take this down. We don't want people to see this information. What is wrong with Apple? And as the guy from Gizmodo says, he says here at the very end, he says, let's see here. My MacBook Pro has a problem with the whining screen too. Perhaps I'll wait until they acknowledge a sloppy application of the thermal grease before I go in to request repair. In the meantime, I'll keep telling people how much I love using my Mac while silently questioning my devotion to a company who would rather use the law than service to assure their customer complaints. So he's not happy that, you know, they've asked for this to be taken down. And they posted the pictures on Gizmodo. So, you know, cats aren't out of the bag on this. But it makes me wonder really why Apple would stop people from, you know, trying to relieve their heat issues, seeing that they don't want to do anything on customer support. All right. It's been announced that AOL is going to be releasing what they call the AOL is going to be announcing the AIM phone line. It's going to be offering free local phone numbers where that people that are using AIM are going to get a free local phone number and people will be able to dial into you on that number. You won't be able to dial out, but if they do have an additional service, they're going to charge $14.95 a month for. It's going to allow you to call 30 countries, and I don't know if it's going to be unlimited long distance or what, but for now, it'll only be a dial-in to your to AIM, and you'll be able to talk to someone kind of similar to Skype, like Skype In. And the difference there is really Skype In is about $4 a month for a phone line. This is going to be free. So how many of you use AIM? I don't use AIM. I use Trillion. So I doubt this will be something I'll be able to use. I've got an AIM screen name, but I use Trillion as my primary. So I don't have to have 5 instant message applications opened up. All right. In other news today, Corel has bought WinZip. And I don't know how many of you still actually use WinZip since they implemented their new pricing change. You know, many, many years ago, and I was actually trying to look through my registration data that I have a folder where I just keep all my registrations for all my software that come in via, you know, software registrations. And I think I registered WinZip maybe like 10 years ago. And up to this point, up to like a year or so ago, you could get free upgrades. And I know a lot of you probably never did pay for WinZip, but they implemented a new licensing plan where the pro version was like $50, something ridiculous. And I guess there was obviously declining sales because of that. And now Corel's purchased them, so who knows what's going to happen. But EdBot's Window Expertise says means the complete destruction of WinZip. You know, it's a great application. I know probably many of you don't even use it. I know I use WinRAR, WINRAR, a lot. That seems to have a better compression ratio. But, you know, WinZip's been such a tool that I've used for years to unzip zipped up applications. I hate to just think that I have to pay for upgrades anymore. It really kind of bugs me too. So I know that you can do it without it. You know, there's a lot of applications out there and it talks about that in this article. Okay, I'm running late already and we're at 48 minutes. I'm not even in the comments yet. Microsoft is flexing its muscles. Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer today addressed how his company plans to spend money to compete with web giants Google, Yahoo, and AOL in the coming fiscal year starting July 1st. They're going to spend up to $1.1 billion in R&D on MSN, up $500 million from 2 years ago. And that, to me, shows that Microsoft is serious about getting in the search game. They're talking about getting into ad-supported software services. Everything's ad-driven these days, folks. So, well, look out. Here they come. So we'll see what happens. That's a lot of money. You know, hey, Bill, Steve, I can help you out with some of that money. My goodness. They have a huge war chest, don't they? We'll see what they do. They're going to have to get busy, though. There is definitely some movement on the Apple front, that's for sure. Okay, TechDirt is revealing a little nasty trick about DirecTV, and this is may not be directly responsible for DirecTV, but it could be a subsidiary or some company. But DirecTV install techs claim they were forced to lie to customers, and essentially what they were doing was, and this was apparently in Florida, as they were going in to install the desktop sets, and they were telling customers that they had to hook up the telephone line, and if they did not, that the device wouldn't work. And for techs that got out of there without having a phone line hooked up were actually penalized. You know, DirecTV's been in trouble before, so we'll see what happens on this one, but... The installers essentially let the cat out of the bag. So if you have a DirecTV box, you know, you don't have to have that line hooked up. He just lets you know that. Now, there are certain things you're not going to be able to get and do, and you may have to get on the phone from time to time with them. Them telling customers that telephone line has to be hooked up is not true. It really, really isn't. Okay, Wired has a very interesting article. It says everyone wants to own your own PC, and it talks about everything from entertainment software like the Sony Rootkit stuff to viruses to internet services like Hotmail, application software, etc., who's all clamoring to take control of your PC and make it more theirs than yours. And this is kind of a good read here for those of you that had dealt with issues with the digital rights management or actually got, had some issues with the rootkit or been infected with a virus or something. Very good. You know, it's a very good article, very good review about this ongoing onslaught to unpersonalize your PC and make it someone else's, not your own. So it is an interesting commentary. Okay, next, the last article, Boing Boing has a reference to a petition that the Electronic Frontier Foundation has. It's entitled "Stop the RIAA from Suing Thousands of Fans." The EFF has gotten 73,000 of 100,000 signatures that's seeking for a petition on the recording industry's insane campaign of suing thousands of music fans. 27,000 more to go. Okay, this is the challenge. I want to get 5,000 of you that listen to this show to go sign that petition. Now, I don't know if we're going to be able to drive that many over there, but I think it's achievable. Now, I don't know how we're going to be able to see if you got over there to do it, but I'll have a link up in the show notes. They need 27,000 more signatures to get to 100,000. This is essentially going to send a petition to Congress saying, stop, have the RIAA stop this madness, and let's help them get to 100,000. Let's do our part. If you're on board with assuring people's rights, I'm sure many of you are, and I get comments from you all the time that essentially say, hey, here's what I think about this, but don't say a comment on the air or on the show, but let's get out there and sign that petition if you believe in what they're trying to accomplish there. Okay, McAfee's released a Mac security white paper. Pretty good read on that. Talks a little bit about some of the actual things that have happened and possibilities. It's been kind of, I will be honest with you, it looks to me like I don't know if they're trying to scare people or not here on this. So I'll let you guys be the judge of this. But they've released a security white paper. I'll link to the article in PC World so that you can see their comments on here. The statistic that they talk about are a little bit ambiguous. And it's not necessarily the number of things that have popped up, but the possibilities, I guess. So I think you're all pretty safe still. Obviously, there's not been a mass infection of any Mac machines, that's for sure. You know, there's a lot of attention being made to it. And there was some attention this week given to that new ad campaign, which is brilliant on Apple's part. But it makes some people have been saying, well, what happens if something does happen? Will that cause a class action lawsuit because Apple said it couldn't? So curious to say the least. A lot of attention in that front. But on the most front, you guys are still safe out there. This podcast today has been brought to you in part by Honda Fit. The all-new Honda Fit is small on the outside, yet roomy and versatile on the inside. A VTEC engine, anti-lock brake system, and front, side, and side curtain airbags are standard. And for added style, there's the Fit Sport Automatic with rear roofline spoiler and wheel-mounted paddle shifters. The Honda Fit is set and ready to go. Check it out at fit.honda.com. And I think the thing I like most about this car is the gas mileage. How much are you guys paying for gas? $3.27 here. Whew! At that price, and with this thing's gas mileage, it almost makes me want to go out and buy one. All right, I had some great feedback from listeners this week, and I want to thank Randy in particular. We spent about 30 minutes on Skype today, and we walked through the issue I was having encoding some video. And what I was doing is I had a Camtasia video screen capture that I was trying to create a dual format video file so that both Mac users and Windows users would be able to view it on the web. And I had been coding apparently all week trying to figure out what was going on, and it was hanging. And what it turns out was happening was the .mov would encode just fine, but the file size was ridiculous, 350 megs or something like that, just out of control for an 82-minute live roundtable. So I was trying to do it in Flash because I knew this file size would be smaller, but what I was doing is I was encoding in .swf format. And apparently, .swf only allows it to be very short, and you're limited on the total number of frames. I think he said it was 16,000 or something like that that you're limited to. So what was happening was this thing was getting to like 8 minutes into the encoding, and it would just freeze. And the reason was because I'd already ran out of frames. So he walked me through it, and I found a tab that I had not found before that I could pull down and change to the .flv encoder. So I encoded in H.263, I believe, with .flv. Beautiful. 123 megs. Absolutely perfect. You know, I learned something this week on encoding video, and it was definitely an education process. And, you know, just one little click of the switch on a software setting, and it just made all the difference in the world. So maybe I'll write that up some point for those of you that have had these type of problems in the past. And probably some of you are like, well, yeah, you didn't know that. But anyway, I got an email from again, thanks, Randy, for that. I do appreciate it. And I'll put a link up to Randy's website as well. I got an email from Steve. He said, love the podcast. I've been listening for a couple months, and I thoroughly enjoy it. Typically, I listen to the show while I'm driving, so I can't really take notes. Of course, most of the stuff is linked to in the show notes. However, you don't put links into the podcast promos you play. Often those podcasts sound interesting to me, but I end up having to scan through the end of the podcast again to try to find the promo so I can check it out, and I typically forget to do that. Any chance you can add links to the show notes? Well, I will definitely try to do that, Steve. Sometimes these guys don't send me links either. And like that last promo we played last week, real hard to tell what the actual website was. But if I have them, I'll put them up. And so that's important to all you podcasters out there submitting promos to geeknewspromos@gmail.com is that give me the link to your show, your website. Make it easy on me so I don't have to go digging. And always say your link to your URL in your promo. Some of you don't do that. It's not the best way to do that. Got an email from Robert. He said, I just put up my first podcast at the Radio Meow show at www.radiomeow.com. And hey, He's actually, Robert, you know what? It's not quite a podcast yet, my friend. You don't have the RSS feed up. You're making it available to download, but you got to get that RSS feed up to with the enclosures to really qualify it as a podcast. Remember, podcasting is about the delivery vehicle, and otherwise it's just an audio program. But if you guys want to go over there and check his site out, radiomeow.com, and you'll find the link to a show there. Okay, let's see here. What else have we got? I got a bunch of more comments, but I got an email from Harry. Him and I exchanged emails a little bit. He said, Todd, hey, Drupal is not a hard site to design for. And I basically responded back to him saying that, you know, I had tried for a long time to find a website developer, a web designer to do a layout for me and was never able to find one. Some of you may have had better results than that, but, you know, when I try and put the call out on this show and other places to try to find a web designer to build a skin or do a template for me for Drupal, and I couldn't find one, that tells me that there's not, unless you can do it yourself, which I don't do web design, that's not my game, you know, that's where the issue lays. So for the average user, you know, it's got to be easier for them. It really, really does. It really does. And if you know, I know that you say that you developed yours yourself and designed it, but we got to think about those that are out there that are not web designers. Okay, I got to get these promos played. We're already over an hour. I apologize, but I had a lot of stuff to say today and got through it. Congratulations to John on winning the recorder. And I'll have an email out to you. Send me a comment. All of you, hey, voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365. Comments to geeknews@gmail.com. And, of course, you can always Skype me at Geek News Central. I'm around this next week or so, so it'll be a good time to reach me if you want to talk to me. I guess that's it. We'll see you on Tuesday. I want to thank all of you from the bottom of my heart for being part of the family here and staying subscribed. And, hey, let us know what you think about the show. Send your comments. We really want to hear it. And two promos for you tonight. One of them is a very popular podcast that's out there. A little bit on the wild side at times, but I'm sure that you guys will enjoy it. And then we'll have a ending message from Andy.
Come to the Riverbend, where you get many great shows like the Riverbend Country Show, the Riverbend Blender, and the highlight show, the Riverbend Rock Show. With the release when I can schedule, you get a rock show about every 2 weeks and another show sometime in the downtime. So if you like music, come on down to the river. You can find me at theriverbendpodcast.com or search for the Riverbend in iTunes.
We got that one, theriverbendpodcast.com.
Here's more information on how you could win $500, $250, or $100 in the Tech Podcast U3 Developers Contest. U3, as you know, enables USB drives, like the Geek Squad series from Best Buy, to contain applications, data, configurations, and passwords. The prizes will be awarded to TPN listeners who download the Developers Kit from U3 and port an application to the U3 environment. They'll be selected by a panel of judges from Tech Podcast Network and U3. Simply go to u3.com and register, then download the U3 deployment kit. That includes the SDK and other developer information. You'll receive a confirmation email from U3 and a username and developer company ID. Just cut and paste that into an email along with your contact information and email it to contest@techpodcast.com. That's it. You're officially entered in the contest and officially equipped with the tools that you need to port an application to the U3 environment. You can submit up to 3 entries, one per category, by email at any time prior to May 15th, 2006. Full details on the contest are available at techpodcast.com.
All right, Andy. Thanks, everyone. And also, we'll see everyone next week on Tuesday. Aloha from the state of Hawaii. Bye-bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.